time for a little recognition. We'll hold our applause till the very end, just give them a big thank you there at the very end. And I'm going to mention some graduates that aren't able to be with us. They were able to, I know some pictures were put up in the back. And I know Kyle Hennington has moved on. I was talking to Brother Ernie earlier. He graduated and is planning for graduate school. And that is just awesome. And, of course, church member and our youth director, Brother Evan Blackford, graduated this past. He didn't get to attend the graduation because it was going on the same time as his wedding. But anyway, he graduated with a master's degree from Central Arkansas Baptist Bible Institute, where I teach at, and he is a part-time instructor. I'm not sure what his plans are for this fall as far as school-wise, but we'll find out. Also, Miss Catherine, his now bride, his wife, just graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Psychology from John Brown University in Siloam Springs, and she'll be a future church member. And so we have our graduates here, down here, that we'll be looking and honoring. We have some of our college graduates that are present, as well as our high school graduates, and we'll be honoring them this morning. Okay, I'm going to ask right now if Miss Courtney Harville would come up here this time. Haley McLemore, just stay right up here for it. We'll keep everybody together. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Congratulations.
There you go. Good job. I want to ask John and Brother Don to come up at the same time. Guys, I'll stand up here. There you go. Congratulations. There you go. Congratulations, Brother Don. Jason Johnson, hiding back there in the back. Here you go. And just come right on the stage, brother. There you go. Congratulations. And congratulations. There you go. My prayer is that each of these individuals would continue to serve the Lord, continue to pursue education in life and in the Lord. The Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And may they always have that reverential respect for the Lord in their lives, and their priorities will always be in order. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just ask that you just bless each of these individuals and the education that they've obtained in their lives, those that are present and those that are unable to be here today. Dear Lord, just bless them, and I thank you for what they mean to us here at Promised Land. I pray that they would always honor you in every decision that they make in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. I'll get this screen up. Now's the time for Pastor Powell. All the Pastor Powells, come on down. Do we have it? Get that out. Y'all be careful. Here they come. Okay. Let's see. I need a... Y'all put an offering in there? I want to show y'all something here this morning. Get everything rigged up here. There is a word on top of this balloon Chelsea. And, get it on this. There we go. There we go. Right there. Let's see if it'll hold. There we go. What is this word here? Huh? Anybody know what that word says? No. It doesn't say balloon. It says sin. That's right. Had a little technical difficulty. We'll see if it'll work here now. Okay. Well, you know, just like in our lives, a lot of times when we are born in this world, sin starts affecting our lives. And, you know, the more we sin, the more we do wrong things in our lives. We keep sinning, and sin just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. If we tell a lie to mom and dad, if we tell a lie to our friend, if we hit somebody or do something wrong towards somebody else, well, you know, guess what? Sin just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, as sin gets bigger and bigger, it affects other people. It can affect our families. What if we say something mean to somebody we shouldn't say? What if we say something about one of our parents or our teachers? What's going to happen then? I wonder how big this balloon's going to get. What's going to happen to this balloon if we keep sinning? It ain't going to blow up, surely. Sin never does anything like that. Oh, surely not. You know, it could be bad. If we keep doing wrong stuff, that's right, you know, we keep doing wrong things, that's a big balloon. Whoop. Yep. Or if we keep sinning and doing wrong things, we say, you know what, I need to go to the Lord and talk to the Lord about this. And maybe He can help us. And sometimes in life we look silly. Okay? There it goes. And you know what? What happened to all the air in it? That's right. You know why? Because we gave it all to the Lord. And you know how you do that? Yeah. By prayer. That's by prayer. Okay, I need all of y'all to help me. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. And let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Y'all did very good. Dear Lord, I just thank You that we can go to You in prayer and we can confess our sins to You and give all of our sins to You and You would take them from us. Father, I thank You for these young people. They mean so much to us. Bless our graduates. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Where'd Jace go? Here you go, Jace. You can have that, Jace. Here you go. Jace, there you go. Go throw that in the trash can for me. Okay, who's got children's church this morning? All right. Miss Becky's got it. Thank you, Brother Norman. Y'all be careful.
Was the balloon supposed to pop?
Well, that was one part.
At this time, Grace is going to bring our special.
Surely, that He's able to carry you through. As pilgrims here, we're on a journey. We often know not which way to turn, but then Oh, God is able. He's able. He's able. God is able. Clouds may gather around you. So dark and sable. He was Daniel's stone of rolling, and Ezekiel's wheel of turning. He was Moses' bush of burning. He was Solomon's rose of Sharon. Oh, surely, 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 surely he's able to carry you through. One night he shook the Roman jail. Prisoners stood of truth is still unfurled. Don't you know God is able? He's able. He's able. God is able. Clouds may gather around you. So dark and sable. He'll be a friend. When you're friendless,
oh, yes.
He's a mother,
oh, yes.
For the motherless,
oh, yes.
He's a father,
oh, yes.
For the fatherless,
oh, yes.
He's your joy,
oh, yes.
When in sorrow,
oh, yes.
He's your help,
oh, yes.
For tomorrow,
oh, yes.
When you come down,
oh, yes.
To the Jordan,
oh, yes.
He'll be there to bear all your burdens.
Yeah.
In the judgment,
yeah.
He'll go with you.
He'll go with you.
Surely, 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 whoa, surely, surely.
Amen. I enjoyed the choir special and that special, and be coughing here in a minute, but that'll be part of it. Okay. I'm going to ask somebody to do me a favor. I need, back there in the back somewhere, is four those extra maroon Bibles back there. I bet you none of these seniors have a Bible up here. Okay. They need a Bible, and I need somebody so kind back there in the back to bring them four Bibles. They're getting them together. Okay, you got three. You need one, or you got four. Okay, good deal. The rest of y'all know where to head. Okay, and that is Acts chapter 8. I knew they was marching in. They're all concerned with looking pretty, and so they wasn't thinking about the Bibles, but I didn't want to leave anybody out. Matter of fact, some of the ladies' auxiliary and some of the other individuals have, we've got them back here in the back. They came in. They're the maroon. They match our hymnals. I'm going to be struggling. I'm just going to have to apologize to you. But anyway, we're getting some Bibles, and they're going to go in the pews and all that. So there'll be Bibles everywhere if you happen to forget yours. They did come in. And I take all the blame for the late order. I need to do that, but finally got it done. I appreciate those individuals who have given toward that cause. and matter of fact, I don't want to offend you in any way, but whenever we dismiss like we normally do after the invitation, I won't be shaking your hand, okay? I've washed my hand 10 times this morning trying not to pass along anything to anyone. And so if you have shook my hand, well, I've done my best to try to avoid passing on any germs or anything, so don't worry about it, at least I hope. Just a aggravating head cold, I believe. Acts chapter 8, while you find your places there, yes, Brother Norman, the balloon was supposed to blow up. It was. And I had to go to plan B because when Jace and the other one came down there and started hugging on it, I'm like, uh-oh, that wouldn't be good. I stayed with the Blackfords this weekend, and Brother Trey and I, and Brother Trey, he stayed up, he slept on a blow-up bed that didn't stay blowed up, okay? And I slept in Archer's bed, and I told Brother Alan Blackford, you know, who's just a super nice guy, very distinguished and all, and I said, well, I don't want to take advantage of Archer, and he said he'd take advantage of you, so I said, well, I guess I'll go ahead and take advantage of him then. I slept in his bed, about a 100-year-old bed that was kind of a feather bed. Boy, it slept good, had old-timey springs on it and whatnot. And so we had a good time visiting with them, only my second time ever in Russellville. And I thank Caleb for bringing me the water. Acts chapter 8, verse 27, I just had some thoughts I wanted to share with you this morning, and looking at this morning message, and that is the essence of evangelism. Just to share this with you this morning, now you may not have a title in your bulletin, but it's just the essence of evangelism. Our church is known as a mission-minded church. We should want to tell others about Jesus Christ. And this is a very simple story of a man witnessing. And when you say witnessing, that's telling things that you've seen. In Acts chapter 8, verse 20, and it says verse 27, but I want to begin reading with verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now I'll stop there just quickly, and I want to talk about point number one, which is a wayward sinner. This man was educated. In the Bible days, if you could read, you were an educated individual. There were some that were very uneducated. Well, even in years gone by, it doesn't matter what time of era. A lot of times people that are uneducated, they don't have the ability to read, but they can still. I've met people who struggled reading, but still very intelligent, because all intelligence is not based on books. But he was a man that read, and he is also a religious man, because he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, apparently, this guy was, so to speak, a proselyte of the Jewish religion. Remember, they had just had previously the feast there in Jerusalem. Also, the man was a man of reputation. Notice here that he was the treasure of a nation. Matter of fact, our treasure of our nation has come under fire because, you know, when do you raise and lower interest rates and different things, which I know that has to do with the FDIC and all that, and those who are in charge of the national treasure and different things. Well, you know what? This fellow here was the treasure, not of a business. He was the treasure of a nation. So this fellow he had moved up in the political scheme of things. God led Philip to go speak to him about the Lord. This fellow, in those days, the Old Testament was a lot more plentiful than the New Testament because the New Testament was still being written. Well, And so he's down there in verse 27, and he was, now I just want to look at here at a fellow that was worshiping. He knew about God, but he had never been saved. There's a lot of people in Ashley County just like this. People that are educated, people that know things, people that have gotten degrees, people that are smart, but they have never, it says there, they've never repented. They've never asked the Lord to save them. There's one of the courses that I teach, evangelism, matter of fact, and different methods of talking to people about the Lord. Most people think that they don't know that there's bad news. Did you know, a matter of fact, it says in your Bible and my Bible, it says the gospel according to Matthew. I don't know how it's phrased in your Bible, but most of them say that. The gospel according to Mark. The gospel according to Luke. Now, two of those people were not apostles. They weren't of the 12. Who was that? Mark and Luke. Only Matthew and John were apostles. In the original language, if you want to say the gospel, in Greek you would say evangelion. You know what that means? The good news. The good news according to Matthew. The good news according to Mark, Luke, and John. I'm going to speed it up a little bit, okay? If I can. I don't know if I can hit third gear. I can hit second gear this morning, Bro Steve, but I don't know about third, okay? All right, the good news. Well, listen here. Folks, how many of you, Karen and I have this thing all the time. We'll walk up to each other and we'll say, do you want to hear the good news or the bad news? Did y'all know that? I mean, have y'all ever done that to somebody? Do you want to hear the good news or the bad news? Which do you want to hear first? We'll have something. And, of course, they're opposites. Folks, many people in Ashley County, you know the reason they're not saved? They've never heard the bad news. There are a lot of people in this county, well, all over the world, I know that, but I live here in Ashley County, and so do most of you. You know what? We've heard the good news all of our life. Matter of fact, if we went around house to house, I bet you it would be in the high 90% range of people who say they believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ, and that He's the Son of God. Did you know you can believe in God and believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, yet still be lost and on a road to hell? Folks, a head knowledge is just knowing facts. A head knowledge is just knowing about stuff. You know, I know about President Barack Obama. I know about other people. We could name famous people that I know about, but I've never met them. Okay? Well, you know what? That's the way a lot of people are with God and with Jesus. They know about Him, but they've never met Him. I've met Him. I've met Jesus. You say, well, okay, preacher, you're seeing things. No, I met Him. I asked Him to save me and come into my life, and He did. Folks, He came into my heart and into my life. Literally, it's not a make-believe thing. It's not a made-up thing. You call on the Lord, ask Him to save you, and He will. I met Him, and He's in my heart, and He's there to stay. The only reason that I did that is because I heard about the bad news. I thought, as a 10-year-old, I thought everybody that died, if you were a halfway decent person, that God would weigh the checks and the balances, and the scale of life would tilt your way, and you would get a ticket into heaven. Now, I didn't put it that way as a 10-year-old, but you know what I meant. Just be good, be nice, and you'll get to go to heaven. But folks, did you know there's some bad news? And the bad news is you die without Christ, you spend eternity in hell. That's the bad news. The bad news is there's coming a day in which you'll be judged. Every one of us are going to be judged. Now, you're going to be judged in one of two places. You're going to be judged at the judgment of the lost. There's only two judgments. The judgment of the lost and the judgment of the saved. Which one are you going to be at? folks. I did not want to spend eternity in hell. And it was the bad news. It was the bad news that drove me to the good news. That I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved. Well, let's look at this witnessing person here, this witnessing saint. And verse 28, he went up to Jerusalem, talking about the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was worshiping, and he's going back to Ethiopia, which is a northern country in Africa, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read. Now, if your Bible's King James Version, it says Isaiah, which means Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. You need to go talk to this person. It says in your outline, he found the sinner, he read the Scripture, he presented the Savior, and he witnessed the salvation. Which tells me, if you're a member of this church, and you've never talked to somebody about the Lord, you're falling down on your job. Some way or another, you say, well, I don't know the answer. That's why we have tracks back here in this track rack. If you just give that to someone and said, would you please consider reading this? Did you know you just witnessed to them in a fashion? There's several ways that you can witness to somebody. Or you could go up to somebody, and I've never had, well, one person that was in a great big hurry. I've never had anyone turn me down when I've asked them this question. Would it be okay if I tell you about how that I got saved or how I met the Lord? I've only had, of all the people I've asked that question, I've only had one, and they were in a big hurry. And I understood. That's where a track comes in. If you could get a track off that wall in there. We got probably 24 different kinds. And grab that and take it, and that's who you give it. You give it to busy people. And before you give it to them, like littering, say a little prayer before you hand it out, before you give it. Say a little prayer that God would use it, and God would go before it, and His Holy Spirit would prepare the way. You'll be amazed at what it can do. A preacher friend of mine that's filled in here, he had a neat habit for a while. He and I started a tape ministry. Both of our churches did tapes, and it wasn't too far from his church and my church that he pastored and that I pastored. Brother Adrian had a neat deal. He would pray over a set of tracts, and you know what he would do? Now, you know, you can take this or leave it, take it with a grain of salt. This is what Adrian felt led to do. He would take his those tracts, and you know where he'd put them? He would put them inside the handle of a gas pump. So the next person that came along to fill up, what's this, you know? And well, you know, hopefully maybe someone got saved because of that. I've heard, and some of you, I don't know who opens the bills for Ashley Chico Electric, but I've heard of people putting tracts when they pay their bill. If they pay it and they send it in an envelope, they'll put a tract inside that bill. Whoever opens the bill, you know, the paid bill. Hopefully we all pay our bills. And when they open it, there'll be a tract there. Maybe they'll take that and read that. It's for busy people. I've done this before. There was a bunch of road construction where we lived there in Texas. And I was kept seeing this fella. I was going to get my daughter from school or meet Karen. And I kept seeing these people working there. And, you know, boy, it was August. And did you know it's just as hot as in East Texas as it is here in Southeast Arkansas in August? It's hot. You know, I said, I'm going to take some cold Cokes. And you pull up there to where that fellow's flipping that sign that says slow or stop. And he's flipping that sign. And it was slow, and I knew I had to be quick. And I'm pulling up through, and I stopped. And he said, you need to go on through. I said, here's you a cold drink and something to read. Handed him some Cokes with some tracks that was attached in a Ziploc bag because I didn't want them to get wet. And, he said, well, when he saw the cold drinks, he said, he didn't say, hurry up and get out of the way. He said, oh, yeah, thank you. And he took that. Because guess what? He's busy and I'm busy and I had to ease on through the construction, you know. But I'm always thinking. It says here that the Holy Spirit sent Philip there. Who are you going to see tomorrow? Who are you going to see tomorrow? Most of us see the same people every day. But somebody, God may send somebody your way that you have an opportunity to witness to. That you can just, and folks, you don't have to, folks, did you know this? You don't have to lead every single person to the Lord. Did you know Jesus didn't even lead everybody to the Lord? Matter of fact, some people walked up to Jesus and said, I don't want to have anything to do with you. He told the rich young ruler how to get saved. The fellow said, no, I'm not going to do it. And Jesus, the Bible says, was sorrowful. He was brokenhearted. Folks, lost people ought to break our hearts. Maybe there's some friend or family member that you're concerned about right now. Well, the Holy Spirit told Philip to talk to the fellow. Verse 30. I hope you're still there. We're just going to stay there. Philip ran thither to him. Imagine seeing old Philip trotting up. He must have been young. Did y'all know Philip wasn't even a preacher? Did y'all know he was a deacon? There were seven. The Bible doesn't call them deacons, but I think they were. They fit the mold. They fit the character. They fit the description. Acts chapter 6, they had the deacons elected. There were seven men. Bible elaborates on two of them, Stephen and Philip. Okay? But anyway, so Philip runs up. He's not even a preacher. He's just a church member, a deacon. But you know what? He's a witnessing person. He gets up there and he reads the prophet Isaiah and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Well, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Would you mind telling me, what is Isaiah talking about here? And of course, he was reading Isaiah 53, and the place of the scripture which read, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. Talking about Jesus Christ. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Did you know Jesus died and gave up his life for you and for me? And he told that Ethiopian eunuch the same thing. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And folks, verse 35 is the whole key to you as a saved church member. You as a saved church member, listen up. And he said in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Do you know about Jesus this morning? And then the fellow got saved and call it, you know, the next part is a worthy Savior, a Savior that guide us, guard us, gather us. Did you know that once you're saved, you'll never lose it? And talking about a Savior, he preached unto him Jesus, and what it records here is verse 35. I want to share a very important thing with you, very important. In this Bible, Biblios, a set of 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, there is not one record of anyone's salvation prayer. And thank the Lord. There's not a single prayer in this book anywhere from Genesis to the maps of anyone ever getting saved. Their prayer that they prayed. Now, there's folks that got saved, and even the Bible says they got saved. But there's not a single prayer. What did they say? God was smart. He didn't put it in there. You know why? It'd be like the model prayer. People just go repeating it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I can't, we can say it. We can say it with a big old can of beer in our hand. Our Father, which art in heaven. Yeah, I love the Lord. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. How about you? And not mean a thing. The world treats God's word as silly and meaningless. You know why he didn't put it in there? And he got saved between verse 35 and verse 36. It's because when they came on their way, a certain water, the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" In verse 37, which is not in some Bibles, "If thou believest, thou mayest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," which harmonizes with what the Word of God says that a person does when they get saved. They completely give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get saved? Realize your need. Repent of your sin. And call on the Lord. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's as easy as that. By the way, this is the only verse in the entire Bible that tells you the prerequisite or what is required beforehand for baptism. Before I baptize anybody, what must they admit? That they got saved and they know the Lord as their personal Savior. That's the only place in the entire Bible that tells you the prerequisite for baptism. This is a wonderful story. This is a great story. Maybe this is your story. Did you know one day you were lost? But now I'm found. I was blind. But now I see. Amazing grace. Has it touched your life? Are you witnessing like you should? Are you telling others about Jesus as we prepare for a hymn of invitation? As our musicians come down, would you go to me, the Lord, in prayer? Father, thank you for helping my voice to keep up this morning. Thank you for giving me the strength to preach your word. Thank you for a wonderful church. Because Promised Land is concerned about people everywhere. And dear Lord, you've blessed us. We've been able to give a lot to missions. And not only just write a check, because writing a check means diddly. Dear Lord, you know we need to be involved personally. And not only that, we need to be involved personally with people. We need lost people in our church services. We need people that need Jesus. People that are not like us. Dear Lord, help us to have a love for the lost and to tell others about you. In any way we can, to spread your word and be concerned and show concern to other people. Father, I thank you for all the ones that are here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As we all stand and turn to page number
187.